Mostly I like the one she's singing about. Amen. Glad I know him. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. You say, what about Luke 24? It all goes together. It don't matter where I read from. It's all about Jesus. He's the one I'm going to try to point you to. And I know you say, well, there's other things in the Bible. Yeah, because of him. It all centers around him. And you never go wrong talking about him and preaching about him and singing about him. And I know we don't always do that every service, but maybe we ought to. I don't know. But anyway, Acts chapter number 17, and we quoted some of these this morning. Some of you might have looked over there at them, but let me begin reading to you in verse number 15, Acts 17, verse 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. I know some folks like that. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That's Paul's sermon at Mars Hill, declaring who the unknown God is, declaring why he's preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I may have made mention of this, you may or may not know it, but next time you read through the 28 chapters of Acts, the next time you read through the book of Acts, look at what the theme of every message preached is. And I'll give you a hint. It starts with R-E-S. I can't spell it past there without looking at it, so forgive me, I'd have lost a spelling bee. Resurrection was their message, amen. You say, well, ain't that the message we preach today? Well, hallelujah to God, amen. I'll give you an A+ on that one. That's the same message we've got. And actually, they preached that Jesus died and was buried and rose again and ascended and is coming again. That's the message of the book of Acts, the same one we preach today. It was just Jesus. Well, we began this morning in Sunday school, and I know some of you didn't get to be here for that, but we began to look at how this Bible is about Jesus, and we began to look this morning in the first service after Sunday school, I guess would have been the second service. Let me know, don't tongue tie me and get me caught up in all that. So I guess this is our third service today. But anyway, we began to look in the 11 o'clock service this morning about Jesus that the Bible's about is the same one that was preached by Paul in Acts 17. And the same one that ought to be being preached today. And Paul didn't waste any time. In verse 23, he saw the inscription to the unknown God, and he said, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. His very next statement, he said, I'm going to declare this God you don't know anything about. God that made the world, that's who it is. And right before he finished that statement, matter of fact, his seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. And we started trying to show you four ways in which, four ways that Jesus is declared to be the God that Paul declared. I wish I had my thoughts together a little bit better. Maybe next time I will. Maybe I have more advanced notice. But I think you get the message. That's the main thing. I'm pretty sure I've got the message. But, I think I'm getting it, what I'm saying. But the Jesus of the Bible is the Lord of Lords. Amen. And Paul showed us four ways that prove that Jesus is the Lord. How can Jesus claim to be Lord? Well, Caesar claimed to be king. Caesar claimed to be Lord. He executed people who didn't claim him as their Lord. He wanted them to say, Caesar is Lord. And many children of God lost their lives because they said, no, Caesar might be the king on the throne, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Many lost their lives on account of that right there because they wouldn't. Caesar said there can't be two lords. Well, he's right on that. But it's not him. It's Jesus Christ. He's Lord. And this is proved in the Word of God. His lordship is proved in his declaration of who he is. I'm going to read you a couple of paragraphs. I just feel like it's the right thing to do from James Crumpton's book. They have struck me. One of them is just quotes straight from the Bible without putting the book, chapter, and verse. He runs a lot of scriptures together and a lot of scriptural thoughts together. But if you would like to know what the book, chapter, and verse is, for some of these things I'm about to give you, you can talk to me after service, and I will gladly give you the book, chapter, and the verse of where this is at here. Let me just read you a couple of little paragraphs right here. Jesus, speaking as never man spake, Jesus, by whom Almighty God hath in these last days spoken unto us. Jesus, whom God hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Jesus, who being the brightness of the Father's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, Jesus being made much better and higher than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus, who is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus, in whom by the pleasure of the Father all fullness dwells. Jesus counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Jesus, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who glorified not himself to be made an high priest. Jesus, Son of Man without sin, Son of God with power, who though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and became the author of eternal salvation. Jesus, to whom the sighs of a contrite spirit and the groans of a broken heart are more pleasing than the songs of angels. Jesus, from whose spirit and merit flow our redemption, our justification, our peace, our joy in the Holy Spirit, and our blessedness, our joy in the Holy Spirit, and our blessedness in the world to come. Jesus, once despised and rejected of men, now honored of angels, adored of saints, and the one to whom God hath committed all judgment. Those are all quotes that came out of the Bible. Let me read you this next paragraph and I'll move on. And I don't see a clock, but what time is it, Renee? Caught you off guard. What? 1:55. I was going to have them out by 2, but I can't. It's what? It's 2:55? It is in Georgia, ain't it? Let me give you this right here. I promise you, I will not hold you long, Lord willing. Yes, to the artist, Jesus is the altogether lovely one. Altogether lovely. To the architect, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. To the astronomer, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. To the baker, Jesus is the living bread. To the banker, Jesus is the treasure of all treasures. To the biologist, Jesus is the life. To the builder, Jesus is the sure foundation. To the carpenter, Jesus is the door. To the doctor, Jesus is the great physician. To the educator, Jesus is the greatest teacher. To the engineer, Jesus is the new and living way. To the farmer, Jesus is the sower and the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, Jesus is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. To the geologist, Jesus is the rock of ages. To the horticulturist, Jesus is the true vine. To the judge, Jesus is the righteous judge, the judge of all men. To the juror, Jesus is the faithful and true witness. To the jeweler, Jesus is the pearl of great price. To the lawyer, Jesus is the counselor. To the lawgiver, to the newspaper man, Jesus is the good tidings of great joy. To the occultist, Jesus is the light of the eyes. To the philanthropist, Jesus is the gift of God. To the preacher, Jesus is the Word of God. To the sculptor, Jesus is the living stone. To the servant, Jesus is the good master. To the student, Jesus is the incarnate truth. To the statesman, Jesus is the desire of all nations. To the soldier, Jesus is the 10-star general, the commander-in-chief. To the sailor, Jesus is the calmer of the seas. To the theologian, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. To the toiler, Jesus is the giver of rest. To the sinner, Jesus is the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. To the saint, Jesus is the Son of the living God, Yahweh, the Savior, the Redeemer, and the Lord, Adonai. Jesus is all, and in all, and above all. I would like to read on, but I'm not going to do it. It would take too long, and I don't know if I just could stand it, amen. But that's two paragraphs from James Crumpton's sermon on Jesus. I wish I could have told you like he tells you, but I hope you get to go listen to that, or I hope many of you says, Brother Ricky, Sister Renee, please email me a copy of that sermon on Jesus. And so some people like to listen more, and some people like to read more, and I like to do both, amen, but either which way. But we looked at this morning, what makes Jesus Lord? Who he is what makes him Lord. And then let me give you three more here. What he's done. He's declared Lord because of what he's done. This is kindergarten to most of you. I won't take a lot of time here, but you're talking about able to perform. Nobody ever has done what the God of this Bible has done. The Bible tells me in Isaiah 40 and verse 12, he measured all the waters of this world. He measured them in the hollow of his hand. He meted out the heavens with a span. He weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills. He weighed the hills in the scales and the mountains in the balances. The Bible teaches us he created all that is in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. The Bible said in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We mentioned this morning that, well, there's just a lot of verses we could give you to tell us for that. He's the creator. Nobody ever made a world like this. I remember Preacher Kate, and I'm probably going to mess this up, but I remember Preacher Kate one time, Preacher Berman Kate, he was my pastor at one time. And I remember he was the pastor where Ricky Gravely's now the pastor. But Preacher Kate started that church in the basement of a house. And then they built that great building. Now they've had to build a greater building. I think Brother Kate was there 37 years. Brother Gravely's been there now going 21 years. So I mean, long, good, godly history right there. Anyway, Preacher Kate, he was a preaching one time talking about how that the devil told God. The devil said, God, anything you can do, I can do. And the devil has duplicated many things that God has done.
Yes,
when God gave us the Word of God, the devil comes up with false teachings and false Bibles and false scripture. When God sends forth his men to declare the truth, the devil has his apostles.
That's right.
We are warned over and over again about false teachers resting, twisting the scriptures to their own destruction.
Right.
We were even warned against another Christ in one place there.
Amen.
And so the devil told God, I can do anything you can do. And so I don't know how it all went, but anyway, the devil was challenged that he could make a man as good as God had made. And so God said, all right, devil, you go right ahead. You say this. Said the devil, Preacher Kate said the devil reached down to get a handful of dirt. God said, you get your own dirt. Don't use mine. If you can do it like I can do it, you get your own dirt. And well, that's what man made of. God created everything. And so who he is declares his lordship. What he's done declares his lordship. There's his work of creation, and then there's his work of redemption. Amen. His work of redemption. And oh, this is just marvelous. We just sang about it a while ago, but the greatest truth of the ages is the fact that Jesus Christ redeemed man, or will redeem man from his sin if man will come to him. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 2 Corinthians 5:21 pretty much tells the whole thing. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A sinless Savior becomes sin, that a sinful people, a sinful society, can be made righteous in the sight of God. Just like the songwriter wrote, I like it when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am, for he views me in garments as white as the snow. The Lamb of God is worthy, for he washed me this, I know. Who he is declares his lordship. What he's done declares his lordship. Now we could spend a lot of time on all these, but let me move on number three. I got four. I'm on number three, all right. What he can do. What he can do declares his lordship. Not only who he is, what he's done, but what he can do. You say, what can God do? Let me give you the scriptures on it. I'll give you a few here. There's a lot more where this came from. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Matthew 19:26. With God, all things are possible. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Romans 4:20-21, speaking of Abraham, it said that he staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Most of you know Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able. Brother Blue said he preached almost every week in a year on that phrase, he is able. It's found many times throughout the Bible. But now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, by the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church throughout all age, world without end. Amen. I might have skipped the phrase there, but you can look at Ephesians 3. But he's Lord because of who he is, because of what he has done, because of what he can do, and then because of what he will do. What he will do, what he will do declares him to be Lord. Most of us are the kind of Christian that we ought to be according to the Bible. We enjoy the Christian life. We don't always look. I hope you don't. If it does, I hope this rebukes you. Amen. Help get you right. We don't look at the negative things. There's too much to be positive about. And I mean that in the right sense. I don't mean that in the sense of this warped up power of positive thinking. There is a worldly power of positive thinking. There is a scriptural power of positive thinking. Matter of fact, someone said, Norman Vincent Peale had that teaching on the power of positive thinking. My wife helped me then, brother. She kind of eyeballed me back behind the pulpit. He's trying to record back there a little bit. But I think I'm loud enough. I don't know if it matters. Maybe if I stay on the podium. But anyway, someone said, Peale's power of positive thinking is appalling, while Paul's power of positive thinking should be appealing to the Christian. Amen. There is a scriptural power of positive thinking. If your mind's on Christ, if your life and heart is filled with the joy unspeakable and full of glory, the peace that passeth all understanding, the love which passeth knowledge, you can't help but to be positive. When something negative happens in your life, you just praise the Lord anyway. Thank the Lord anyway. Glory to God anyway. Praise the Lord. That's the way we're supposed to be. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's good, isn't it? Being off the road to hell, that's good. Being on the road to heaven, that's wonderful. And then having all this too, or I guess I should say all this. Other believers are our family members, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can meet with them. Most of the times, three times a week, we can go see God, some of God's other children. We can talk with them. We can pray with them. They can pray with us. They can pray for us. We can encourage one another. We can exhort one another. We can provoke one another to love and good works like the Bible tells us to. This is a good life. Living for God is the best life that you'll be able to find upon this earth. But heaven too, all that in heaven too. I'm saying what he's going to do declares his lordship. If you think it's good now, living for God and experiencing his blessings and benefits, just wait till you see what he's going to do. Amen. It's been preached on. I'll just mention it. The preacher preached on the best is yet to come. Somebody even wrote a song about that. It is good living for God. Oh, I wouldn't trade my life right now for the one I lived before I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't even want to talk much about the one I lived. I don't like to remember. Matter of fact, I think that was somebody else's life. It was. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old man's dead. Amen. It was somebody else. That was me before I met the Lord. It's good living for God. but it's going to be even better. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9, you know the scriptures. The clouds received the Lord. Let me just turn over there. Acts chapter 1, verse number 9, down through verse 11. Most of you are very familiar with these scriptures, but I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen in our future. And when he had spoken these things, this is picking up right where Luke 24 left off, actually. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manners ye have seen him go into heaven." We're given a lot more insight on that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And about, well, let me just get verse number 16. We could back up and go further. But for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what else is going to happen? 1 Corinthians 15. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory?" Philippians 3:21 is going to come into play then. Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation is in heaven, whence also we look for our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." John said, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." That's what our future holds. Oh, that's a glorious future. There's some things the Lord has not done yet, but he's going to. And nobody else can do the things that he's going to do. Nobody can do the things that he has done. And there ain't nobody like him this morning. This whatever this is. Man, I'm so mixed up having these three servants all jammed up together. It's still morning time to me. Amen. But thank God what he is going to do. Amen. And so I lost my place right here. But Lord, thank you so very much for the revelation that you've given us of yourself in the Scriptures. Thank you for using men like Brother Crumpton and others who have written thoughts down that you've gave to them to keep us pointed in the right direction. Lord, help us in these days that we're living in to remember to talk to you in prayer, to remember to listen to you speak to us from out of your word. God, help us to make a difference in this world we're living in for your glory. But more than anything, help us to see Jesus and point others to him. Help us to understand more about him. In his name, ask and pray. Amen.